Okay, we're going to call the 2014 congregational meeting in order. And the first thing in business is I'm going to ask Pastor Griffin to open in prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for some time evaluating things that have occurred within this church and associated media ministries, how your grace has been sufficient, exceedingly abundant over the course of the year. We thank you for the grace that has been bestowed upon these organizations. Our mission, our endeavor, is to serve you in the process of each responsibility. Therefore, we pray for this meeting that it will be sanctified by you, and we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.
I know everybody's seen this pile of paperwork down there. That's what Rick Sherrill told me he hadn't got around to paying yet. And I said, well, put it on the altar and hope God won't kill you. We'll do this by book. I'm going to ask Gary Watson, our secretary, is there a quorum present? Where's Gary?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right, we can keep going. Gary's going to come up and read the minutes of last year's meeting. And then I will ask for a motion and a second and a vote for approval of those. Anybody who's been here long enough realizes I always forget that part. And Gary has to remind me. He lifted that again. I think he does that to poke fun at me. Come on.
The secretary read the minutes from the 26th February 2012 annual meeting, and the chairman entertained a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Rick Sherrill and seconded by Mr. Vic Modere. The motion was voted on by the congregation and passed unanimously. The chairman presented the agenda for the meeting, approval of the minutes from the previous year's annual meeting, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nominations for the 2013 Board of Deacons, 2013 annual financial statement, missionary update, Joe Griffin Media Ministries update. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of nominations for the 2013 Board of Deacons. The ballots were distributed to the congregation. The votes were cast, ballots collected and counted, led by Mr. Paul Davey. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. The chairman then introduced Mark Vesser for the presentation of the 2012 annual financial report. Mr. Vesser reported on the finances for Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. The chairman thanked Mr. Vesser for his report. The chairman then introduced Gary Watson for a missionary update. That being completed, the chairman thanked Mr. Watson for his report. The chairman then introduced Pastor Joe Griffin for the Joe Griffin Media Ministries update. Chairman Schott then asked if there were any other new business or questions. Since there were none, he asked Pastor Griffin if he had any additional comments. The chairman then entertained a motion to adjourn. The motion was made by Mr. Vic Modere, seconded by Mr. Jim Hunt. The motion was voted on and passed unanimously, and Pastor Griffin closed the meeting in prayer.
Thank you, Gary. Okay, what we have before us as a congregation is Pastor Griffin each year nominates. I almost got by with it. All right. See, we have to do that every year. It just wouldn't be right if we didn't. I will entertain a motion from the floor to approve the minutes of last year's meeting. Is there such a motion? Okay. Is there a second? Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Now, we have, the congregation needs to ratify the men that Joe has nominated for deacon. You have, if anyone doesn't have a ballot, lift your hand up and Jim will give you one. If anyone would like a second or third one, he'd probably do that too. It's like Cook County. Vernon wants three. Yeah, you just wonder if he's enthusiastic or does he have an axe to grind. But while that's being done, I just if y'all were earlier this first session, Joe talked about possessions and don't worry about other people's possessions and just worry about your own and get it legally. This is a true story. It reminded me, I know this physician who sometimes would have fun with his patients, and this elderly lady came in, and his name was Dr. Petz, P-O-E-T-Z, but she said, "Dr. Potez, I've come to you because I've gone legally blind." And he, with a straight face, said, "Lisa, I am so proud that you decided to do it legally." But things like that happen, and Rosie's been in the medical field, and it's true. I had a friend who was an intern who was trying to talk to a patient going over their history, so he's putting it in the vernacular, and he asked about a urinary tract infection. She said, "What is that?" He says, "Have you ever had your urine burn?" She said, "You know, you're an idiot. I've never tried to light it." That's true. She really said that. He didn't know what to do. But things like that are funny. I got to vote. Might abstain. Everybody knows Paul Davey. Don't worry about it if you don't. I thought it was like Stranger in Truth when back in the old building, you people were there, maybe were pre-Doritos, and Joe talked about the Apostle Paul's problem he wanted removed. It was a thorn in his side. Did you know Linda's maiden name was Thorn? How's it going? Paul used to have a friend named Garth, and they palled around together when they were young, before you saw much of Linda. And they'd come over to our house a lot. And when it got to our refrigerator, we realized we had some food we were going to throw out. Dana would just call Paul, and Garth would clean it out. Linda wasn't around much then. I don't know if Paul was just too hungry to bring her or didn't want her exposed to Garth too often. So, where did Jim go? Oh, he's counting. Okay. The last funny thing, and I see, you know, John Smith's not here. He wants us to think it's the weather. He just doesn't want to hear any of my stupid jokes, so he just stays home. But everybody knows Yogi Berra, probably, and he said some things that you just wonder where was he going or what was he thinking. And my three favorite ones were someone asked him what time it was once, and he said, "You mean now?" Use that sometimes. Some people, it just goes right over their head. He was helping his wife garden in the backyard off season one time, and he was complaining about how the thorns were sticking him, and she got tired of him whining, so she threw him a pair of gloves, and he actually said, "The only reason I need these gloves is because of my hands." And the last one, he was being interviewed after he had finished, I think, coaching the Mets. And Brian Gumbel was a new reporter, and he said, "Yogi, I want to do a word association with you. I'm going to say something and then say the first thing that comes to mind." And the first thing that Brian Gumbel did, he said, "Mickey Mantle." And Yogi said, "What about him?" I thought those were funny. And really, you don't know how hard it is to come up with stuff I can actually say up here. We have set history. This has been unanimously approved. So everybody can keep their job. We're next going to have a financial update by Rick Sherrill. And we'll go from there, Rick.
Thanks, sir. happy to say they actually spelled my name right. So I know most everyone, but for those who don't know me, I am Rick Sherrill. I've been fortunate enough to be on the board of both Grace Doctrine Church and Media Ministries, and a deacon for the church, so I'm thank you for that. And another job, I got volunteered somewhere along the line to be treasurer, so I'm still doing that.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not. My nephew says I was voluntold. I kind of like that one better. But nevertheless, I get the pleasure of telling you guys the good news. We have money. So I'm happy about that. Contrary to popular belief, these are not the unpaid bills. I'm happy to report most of them are paid. So we're up to speed on this. I want to take a second because I'm still relatively new to the church. And when I took over this job as treasurer, I used to hear Joe joke about how he doesn't have a clue about the financials of the church. I can report that's true. He really doesn't. Sometimes he asks me questions that I find entertaining, but they are real. And because people send stuff in the mail all the time, which I have to take a second and stop and say that it is incredible to watch the donations and the grace that comes in for everyone. It's amazing. So I thank anyone here and everyone that's listening for what they do. I can say that on behalf of Joe, but he really doesn't know. People write notes to Joe in there, whatever. I don't show him those notes. Anyway, we have money, so we're happy about that. On behind me, I believe, is the beginning balance of the year of $143,000 rounded off. We have spent a fair amount of money this year on Grace Doctrine Church. It's basically within just a few dollars what we spent the prior year. Our donations are a little bit down. That goes over the 3 to 5 years I've looked, and that's nothing unusual. But the good news is we still have $106,000 left, and so we're very grateful for that. That is of the Grace Doctrine Church. As a general rule, the bulk of those numbers are people. And if there is a change this year, like in everyone's life, it's insurance costs. Insurance costs have gone up anywhere from 30 to 50% for the building, for all the associated costs there. So, but good news, we're doing great. So keep the cards and letters coming, folks. I also take care of the financial information for Media Ministries, which is a separate organization. It is separate bank accounts, all that. They are two different groups. And you can see here we started off at $167,000 for the year. We received just under $100,000 at around $97,000. And we spent about $120,000 this year. But let me point out that under the ministry, we had some extraordinary items this year. We had the dehab and rehab of Joe's office. That is done. It looks great. It's been very nice. But that was an unusual expense one time. We also had, if I can remember my notes, what I wrote down. We upgraded the bulk of our equipment that is used for the distribution in Dana's neighborhood, and that was a well-needed event. And then the other item was the new book. So it's been actually a very good year. So to look at all the things we did, those numbers add up somewhere over $50,000, $60,000 that we spent. And to come back where we are has been outstanding. So as far as I'm concerned, another great year for the folks in Media Ministry. So that's all I really have in regards to the details. Now, I can get into all kinds of boring details, but you guys are fading already. So I won't do that. But if anybody has a question, be happy to take it. Otherwise, I'll be quiet and sit down. Weldon, it's all yours.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
We'll go to new business now, and we have one item that the Board of Deacons wants to bring before the congregation. I'm going to ask for entertain a motion by someone in the congregation to make the motion that the weekday Bible classes currently starting at 7:30 and going to 8:30 be changed to start at 7 p.m. and go to 8 p.m. Some background on that. There's some people with little ones who have to get them in bed at a certain time, and they think it would free them up to come here. And I made you a promise it wouldn't go from 7:30 to 8:30 to the new one from 7 to 8:30. But I want you guys, what we're going to do, I'm going to ask someone to make the motion. Someone will hopefully second it, and then I'll ask for discussion. And then after the discussion, we will vote. So I'll entertain the motion. Michael, okay. Is there a second? Okay. Discussion. Anyone have questions? Yes.
How many, and this doesn't affect me, but how many people will not be able to make it because of their job, the time their job ends or something?
Less than 17. That's a good question. That's why we're going to have discussion. If I want to, let me just bring this up. Is that going to preclude anyone from coming? Just let us know. Not that we're going to change our mind, but we just want to know. Tom? Were we talking about when we go to daylight savings time? Is that like the end of March? Last Sunday in March? You know, it's
first
week
of March.
First week of March.
First part of March.
About that. Okay. So I think we're talking. No. 2 or 3 weeks.
We can start it whenever we want
to. Yeah. You know, that's a good point. We'll start it on Wednesday. But if there's some problems where someone thinks that it might be better started at a different time, you know, we're flexible. The time, we just had to come up with some time. And Joe said, how about daylight savings time? Paul?
Well, one point is the current bulletin does have classes listed starting at 7:30 for anyone that's received it outside of the local congregation.
The new bulletin of
the current month,
February.
Calendar, has it listed at 7:30 to 8:30 on the night. So we need to make that clarification.
Send an email out. And you need to give people a little bit of notice to the windows.
Sorry. How about the Ides of March? Then that'd be 2 weeks. Yeah, Joe?
I'd like to follow Mike. What is the problem in readjusting the gizmos to the news kind?
Not a problem.
We would need to have time to put announcements on the website for the Rios so that they would know about the change. This affects West Coast people as well. We do need time to inform through distribution of our notes.
Yeah. But, they're getting Bible class starting at 8:30 Eastern time.
But we want people to have face-to-face teaching, and if it's a problem with people with little ones, we want to take that in consideration and try to inconvenience people as little as possible, the other ones. If we were to start in mid-March, would that be enough time to get everyone, you know, you have the Google notes and the web page, and then the bulletin is posted on the website. Do we mail out any bulletins? Only if they order something, right, Dana? I mean, in that current mailing, they get the new bulletin. So we would be able, if we put this in the March bulletin, then they would be able to get that. Tom?
Suggestion. Why don't you run it as, say, the 15th of March and run it on a 90-day trial and see how it's working and evaluate, 90
We can do that. I don't know how, what parameters we'll use to evaluate it. I guess if it goes on weekdays from 17 down to 7, that'd be a hint. Okay. Would you like to modify your motion? This begins on March 15th.
Well, is that a Wednesday?
I don't know. Anybody have a calendar?
Wouldn't it make more sense to do it just the first of March? So
no. I've got an idea. Let's start it on the first of the month, okay? We have time to instruct people. I suggest that.
When April?
April, the first Wednesday of April.
Yeah. All right. April 2nd? Yeah. Okay, we'll start on April 2nd. That's good that we're not going to start it on April Fool's. People probably think we're lying. Okay.
We also get to see more of the end of the Cardinal game.
That's true. You guys can work that out.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Yes, the parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also
people should know that would be offered, yes, to have instruction for the little ones, for the young reprobate.
So
okay. So, Gary, could you read the motion?
The motion has been made by Mike Weber that we change the start time of Bible classes from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. to 7 to 8 p.m. starting April the 2nd and run for 90-day trial period, and then the Board of Deacons will revisit after 90 days.
Perfect. Any more discussion? Did you record a second?
I did. Someone seconded.
Someone seconded. Who?
Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan did. Okay, with no further discussion.
Can you repeat the motion, please?
Gary, can you repeat the motion?
Who is that?
Michael Weber made a motion that we change the time for our weekday Bible classes from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. to 7 to 8 p.m. starting April 2nd and run for 90-day trial period, and the Board of Deacons will revisit after 90 days. The motion was seconded by Ryan Jacobsmeyer.
No more discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay. Motion carried. Any other new business anyone wants to bring up? If not, I'll ask Joe to close in prayer once I entertain a motion to adjourn.
We don't need to adjourn right now.
Oh, you need to talk, don't you?
Well, we got two more presentations.
I gave you the agenda.
Yeah, but I don't read in order. get Gary's presentation, and then Pastor Griffin has something to say. Yeah, Joe. You may proceed, sir.
We got fancy this year, and we have slides to show you some things. And so this introduces a report for Media Ministries. And what you see down before you in front is a map that displays where Dana sends a number of media. On the board here, I have a breakdown. There are no numbers by MP3 disc or books because it's impossible to nail precisely those numbers, but we do have ballparks that I'll present to you. I've got a report here that Dana has pulled together for us, and this is a summary for the past year as far as her division of Media Ministries is concerned. She indicates that each month Media Ministries mails MP3s to somewhere between 250 to 300 subscribers throughout the United States, Australia, England, and many countries in the continent of Africa. And the map down front shows this for you. Now, I can show the Doritos this. That shows you where the Doritos are located. As far as mail-outs are concerned, we'll do the Dorito live hits in a moment. But this is a map that shows the concentration of subscribers to MP3s or books and so on. As far as the other side of the world is concerned, they're concentrated in southern Africa as well as spread over some areas of Western Europe, even in Iran. That person's in deep trouble. And a little bit in Australia and then over in the Western Pacific. I'll continue with her report, though, with regard to these numbers. The monthly MP3 package contains a number of things that I think are of interest. It not only includes the disc with the Bible classes, it includes a bulletin, an order form, return envelope, and a visual and diagrams page that relates each visual to the lesson that it corresponds to. All the printed material, namely the bulletin, diagram page, order form, return envelope, is printed by the Media Ministries staff on Media Ministries equipment, saving Media Ministries over $5,000 a year. Every MP3 is produced by the Media Ministries staff as well. Each monthly MP3 contains every lesson for the previous month, my class notes, all visuals used, holiday specials, all guest speaker presentations, their notes if they have them, and individuals that they include. All of that's on the MP3 disc. Outsourcing the MP3 would cost Media Ministries a minimum of $850 a month. This cost is only for the automatic monthly MP3 distribution list, which has grown significantly from last year. This excludes the hundreds of additional MP3 orders produced and mailed each month. Using the Media Ministries volunteer staff and equipment, the ministry's cost for the monthly mailing is about $150 a month. This saves the ministry each month close to $850, totaling $10,200 a year. It is not unusual to produce and mail an additional 200 to 300 MP3 orders which contain similar or larger printed contents. The overall savings to Media Ministries then doubles. The volunteer staff, which varies during the year but is always present, saves the ministry an estimated $17,000 a year. This figure is a low estimate. No salaries paid are included in these estimated savings. And in addition to the MP3 distribution, Media Ministries mails publications of the pastor's basic books, the 40 Proclamations, Joe Hunt's Who Loves You, and now the new publication One Day at a Time. Several years ago, the distribution of Joe's book was taken over by his daughter, Nikki Hunt Jacobsmeyer. Is she here today? With the approval of our pastor, that would be me, and the Media Ministries board, Nikki includes a letter with each publication of her father's book. Nikki is keeping the many responses she has received along with the many letters received previous to her taking over the task, and she hopes someday to have an addendum to the book whenever we reprint it. Book orders vary each month. There's no set number for that. Dependent on the nature of the order, personal or organizational publication distributions vary from a few thousand a month. This year, another book was added to our collection, namely One Day at a Time. In the last 2 weeks, approximately 400 of these have been mailed. So it's a new publication, so there are a lot of orders coming in for that. In addition to that, we also assist Gary Watson with Philippi Ministries as far as his mailings are concerned. There are some things that I'd like to show you. The map you can see a little closer afterward if you're interested, and come down and see where the concentration of mailings are concerned. Now I'd like to show you a few other things. Let's take class note subscribers. Joe Hunt, for example, way back in Chesterfield many moons ago, was jealous of Danny, because I was giving Danny class notes ahead of time, which he was sort of cataloging in some way. And Joe wanted them too. So he asked me if he could have class notes, and I said, well, okay. And then that got around, and before you know it, I had 11. So that started things rolling. Now, the Google group class note subscribers is 572. So every time I complete a 10-page document and send it out to the Google groups, it goes to 572 subscribers. The documents that were distributed to the Google group this past year total 40. That's low because I had to take time out because of my office reconstruction to do the Heritage of the Privileged class, which we did not distribute notes for. We had 163 Bible classes last year. The attackers, we finished that up with 35 lessons. David's Heir, 59. Heritage of the Privileged class, and even 50. Vicarious Sacrifice totaled 13 by the end of the year. And Whirlwind was the six-hour study down at Shreveport for a total of 163 hours of Bible class. We also had visits by Rick Hughes on Sunday, the 11th of August, which is annual for him. Sean Wojciechowski spoke 1 hour this past year. I want to note some improvements that have been made as far as the website is concerned. Before I do that, I would like to I'd like to go on and on, but there's no reason to. I'll just say this. Paul Davey and Mike Weber keep this horse saddled. How they do it, I don't know. We have one of the most sophisticated church websites out there. You can go to some of these others, and they simply don't have available what we do here. And it's because of I don't know how many untold hours that these guys invest in keeping it online. But I can tell you this, that is a skeleton crew. Dennis Norris has contributed a tremendous amount of assistance to them, especially back in the aquarium. But as far as the nuts and bolts of keeping the thing on the air, it's these two guys. And as a result of what we were required to deal with back in this little small room to my left, that's where the servers are located. I've learned from them that keeping a website online requires a tremendous amount of care. And usually people have an entire staff to do things like this. But these guys, interestingly enough, have jobs. And their job includes doing that kind of thing. So my accolades go out to them, and the Doritos need to understand that two fellows keep this thing perking. So here's some things that we've done, seeking to improve the clarity visually and audibly for our webcast. All Bible class MP3 files have been moved off the servers to the cloud. And this is a term they use. I have no idea where this cloud is. I understand that something is in Texas, but other than that, I don't know. But that we don't have it back in the server room. That's what you need to know. They moved it to the cloud. And so this includes these points. It provides needed bandwidth for live video and audio streaming of Bible classes for Sunday and midweek services. Bandwidth, I understand, is like there's a pipe and it can take so much data. And if people require more than the pipe size can manage, then you get pauses and flickers and video, you get lost audio for a second, that kind of thing. And so in order to eliminate that problem, they've moved whatever that is to the cloud. And that makes things much better, and I assume that the Doritos have been seeing less interruption because of these brilliant moves. Secondly, live streams of Bible classes now have their own dedicated connection to the Internet to eliminate stuttering video and audio and video dropouts, which I just mentioned. The plan is to move all web services to the cloud during the year 2014, which should eliminate all outages due to technical problems such as computer equipment failure, which happens in dealing with things like this, server crashes from software failure, and Internet service provider and local utility outages. If you have a power failure at your Internet service provider, then you're down and you can't get back on until they fix their problem. And then finally, problems regarding our search engine are being addressed, but the fix may take some time. The search engine was developed by Mike Weber and Matt Lawson. I think I'm correct on that. It took them a long time to do that. So we had some internal problems that occurred during the year, and the search engine is not working properly, but it's a very sophisticated program. And so they have to take the time that they have away from their jobs to work on this and get it back up to speed. At some point in the future, we'll have the search engine back up. That means that you can use the search type in a Bible verse or some keyword, and it'll take you to every Bible class that contains that Bible verse or that keyword. So you can do your research that way. This slide shows who's listening to live Bible studies. That would be Doritos, we call them. And they, you can see on this chart here what it includes as far as averages are concerned. I've got monthly Dorito consumption. That's Paul's title for this. And the number of live streaming Bible class viewers per month. Now, he did, first of all, in 2013, quarter one, we had 2,750 on average who streamed the live telecast audio stream. And then in quarter two, we had 3,250. Now, beginning in July, we go out to the end of the year. And what you see in July, we had 2,470 hits for live Bible classes, and including the number of Bible classes we had. The average in July was 449. Now, these are people that are listening to Bible class with you. So the average in July was 449. Total in August, 4290, with an average of 613. The numbers in September, 2974 for the month, a 496 average per class. In October, 3,518 with 439 average per class. In November, 3,290 with 470 average. In December, 2311 with a 354 average. And then in January, 2,566 with a 427 average. So the average per class from August 2013 through January 2014, 466 who log on with you for Bible classes on Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Now, Paul did some research as far as the stock market is concerned. If the average group of internet listeners consume one bag of Doritos per class, that's almost 40,000 bags of Doritos in 2013. And if the average bag of Doritos costs $2.99, given this analysis, one could submit that GDC and Media Ministries are responsible for the contribution estimated of $120,000 to Frito-Lay's 2013 revenue. I would say that would be Pepsi stock. So, as boring as they may be, it's hard to argue with the facts. Bible class is good for the economy. I'd like to thank... Oh, yeah, please give Paul an applause. I'd like to thank everyone who supports Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. Rick has shown that grace works. We never ask for any money from anybody for anything. And therefore, we feel that God is blessing these organizations because we stay true to the Word. So kudos to all those who help keep these organizations running. And we'll continue to pursue truth as we go into the year 2014.
Aren't you glad I asked Joe to come up? I'm not even going to ask Gary. You can say, I remember when Weldon first got Alzheimer's, it was at a congregational meeting. It would be kind. Okay, Gary has some interesting and exciting stuff to give, as always, so without further ado.
I don't think so. That's a hard act to follow. Ooh, that's impressive. I want to first thank everyone at Grace Doctrine Church, the Board of Deacons, Pastor Joe Griffin, all the Doritos out there for all the support this past year. So many of you have helped with many things, everything from encouragement to going along to see the prisoners with me, books, magazines, place to stay when I'm on the road, some home-cooked meal, a place to hang out. It's amazing, the grace that I have seen over the last year. It's been an amazing year. More doors were opened to present the gospel and teach Bible classes than any year prior. And we've kept busy with other things as well, traveling with Rick Hughes and also our kids' outings. I always enjoy my time with Rick. I spent over 9 weeks with him this past year. And just the past month, I was with him for 2 weeks as we went to Lee's Summit, Missouri, and Mississippi to kick off the year. I will continue to support Rick whenever I can and my schedule permits. And not only am I able to assist Rick, but something else always happens. Doors are always open when I'm with Rick. This past trip, we had dinner when we arrived in Lee's Summit, and some members of the live streaming group for Baraka took us out to dinner. And during the dinner, this individual, who's a retired Army colonel, said, "Would you like to come to Fort Leavenworth, to the military correctional facility there?" And I said, "Sure, if the Lord opened the door." By the next afternoon, I had an email from him, from the captain of the guard, asking me when I could come visit and how often I could come. And then on top of that, he also volunteered at the United States Penitentiary in Fort Leavenworth in the federal prison camp. He made contact with those, and we're now scheduled to go to both of those facilities. So that was three facilities in less than 24 hours of having dinner with this gentleman. And then while we were on the road, there was a man that I met in Louisiana earlier in the year, or in 2013, who was the assistant warden at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, and they have a real push there for doctrine because the assistant warden had been a taper at Baraka. His mother had been on tapes for over 50 years and had been following along, and he set me up to go to Angola. Well, he got promoted to go to the Dixon Correctional Facility in Jackson, Mississippi. And before he left, he set me up to come back to Angola and to set me up to come to the Dixon Correctional Facility in Jackson, Louisiana, about 20 miles down the road. So he took care of that, and all that happened in the first 72 hours I was with Rick. And then we ended up in Louisville, Mississippi, and more good things happened there. So it's really a great time to be with Rick. We continue with our kids program, although we didn't have as many outings as we've had our movie nights this past year. And the reason for that, the Lord just wasn't bringing new kids to us. We had the old ones that had been around. My right-hand man, Grant, had left to go away to college. A lot of the other kids had graduated. But in November, that changed with the youth in need started coming out to our facility to join in on our groups. They were here at Christmas. They'll be with us in February. The 21st, when we have our outing in February. We've now scheduled something for March. We'll see how that goes. It's an influx of young souls that we can present the gospel to, teach some basic Bible classes. We'll do that as long as those kids come around. If not, then we'll cut it off. We'll just see what doors the Lord continues to open this next year. Most of our older kids that have been with us 4 or 5 years have graduated, moved on to college. We do have three who are in the Army. We have one that's in chef school. We have two that are in the Navy, and all of them are doing very well. Our young man who went to San Diego State to play football had an amazing freshman year. He was not injured in any way. He got to play in some of the games as a freshman, so he's doing a great job. Lastly, we did our annual horse camp in South Dakota, and that's always a special time for me. Dan and Deb and I have a great relationship and a special relationship. They're family. And I show up there, and it's just like going home. We hang out. We sit around, talk doctrine. We visit. It's just a wonderful time. And they do a fantastic job with this horse camp. And every year I say it can't get any better. Guess what? It does. And every year there's some surprise for us. And you all got to meet the surprise this year from that camp when she came and visited with us. And I just can't wait to see what the Lord has in store for this year's camp. We'll be going up there and spending some time with them as we get organized ahead of time this year, because we're to the point now where we have to do a little planning and look ahead. I'm going to read to you a note from, first I'm going to show you a couple pictures here. That's one of our young men there. That's from our paintball trip. I think I shot Jay in the back because Tyler asked me to. That's some more of the kids at the paintball. That's our Christmas party. There's the horse camp, some of the kids. Ahead of time again. This is a letter that I received from Marissa, and I need to scan it in and send it to Deb, but it says, "Hello, Gary, I miss church so much. Please send study notes. I'm in need. I don't have much time to write this time, but I wanted to get you my address so I can get started studying truth, so I continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tell everyone hello, and I miss you all." So that just came from Marissa. So she's doing great at boot camp, hanging in there, but she's hungry for truth, and that's what's important. Now to the meat of what we do. God has continued to open the doors and bless this ministry beyond anything I could have ever thought. And I know numbers are not important, but I think it gives you an opportunity to see the doors the Lord has opened for us since we started this thing a few years ago. We started in 2010, and those pegs in red were the prison facilities where we were sending notes. No MP3s were being sent. None of that. Just some notes and a few books. In 2011, you see the blue is added to that list. You look at 2012, that's the yellow. And then when you look at 2013, you get a feel for what this past year has done. We currently have well over 300 inmates who are receiving Joe's class notes, and I send these out every 2 weeks to keep them current with what we're doing. We sent out over 3,500 books this year of Joe Hunt's Who Loves You, Joe's Basic Books, The Divine Pardon by Rick Hughes, which is being translated into Spanish now, so we can get that out to Spanish-speaking inmates. Also, One Day at a Time, we've been sending those out now, and that's not only to inmates, but to chaplains all across the United States. We're in over 121 different prison facilities across the country where they're studying the Word of God. They either bring in notes if there's an individual there, they do it by themselves, but in most locations we have 3 to 5 people. Some places we have 15 people, and they'll wait till the notes come in, they'll sit down, and they'll do the notes together. Where they're allowed to have MP3 players, we actually send the MP3 players to them. We provide those for them along with the MP3s, the headsets, because there's a certain type they have to have so they can be cleaned and sanitized. We provide that for them. And in the next slide, you'll see the tape groups in prisons across the country that are listening to Joe on MP3s. So he has quite a following amongst those who are incarcerated. Over the last 4 years, we've had over 200 inmates return home on either parole or probation. So far, we've had only one return to prison, and that individual actually was sleeping out behind our dumpster for a while. I didn't know it until Jim and I ran into him at a facility. He had written me and said, "I'm back in prison. I violated a drug test. They've put me back in the Missouri Eastern Correctional Center in Pacific. Please get me Bible notes. I have my Bible. I know where I need to start to get my act together." Well, Jim went with me, and we were there for a Bible class, and out of the clear blue, this individual came up, gave me a hug. He was there, ready to go. He's focused. He knows what he needs to do. But during the visit, he told me, he goes, I had reached rock bottom. I didn't have any place to stay, so I stayed behind the dumpster at Grace Doctrine Church. So we had a guest, and none of us knew. If you compare the one going back of the well over 200 that's been released, you'll see that doctrine conquers all, because the national average is 65% of everybody who's released from prison goes back 3 years or less. And in over 200, we've had one return. We present the gospel clearly with no gimmicks. I'm confident when we're done, there's no excuse. Rebound is what is hammered home next, and then the problem-solving devices. We have to address eternal security, because that's a big problem in the prisons. Average Bible class is 2 hours long. We start out, they always get 15 or 20 minutes worth of music. You let them have it. It gets a little freaky at time with the little hand waving and little rocking and rolling. And I think it was Jim who mentioned to me one time, "I don't know that I've saw this before." And say, "We'll get them under control. Let's let them get it out of their system. I got them next." So, and then we attack it hard. Joe, you'd be very impressed with their academic discipline. The men who have been with you will verify that. In an hour and 40 minutes, they don't move. You get a few amens. You get one or two now and then that needs to go to the restroom, but they hang right in there. So, and I'm more boring than you are, so you'd really be impressed. Whenever an inmate writes, his letter's always answered. We average between 25 and 30 letters a week. We personally write them back. We don't send some form letter. We write them back. Many times they ask questions. If I can send them one of Joe's books, print out some of his notes off the internet, or one of the colonel's books, that's what I provide him. If not, and something simple, I'll answer them. We had one recently that wanted a question from Joe. I sent it to Joe. Joe not only answered it, he sent the notes to back it up, and then I forwarded it on to the inmate for him. So that's how we address that, and we get letters all the time. And if you skip a note or you give them a note out of sequence for whatever the reason, they let you know. I got a letter yesterday saying, where in the heck is note number 5, 1005, 41 to 49? You left it out. I need this. I can't continue. And it's like, I got it. So you got to write them back and tell them. There are men who are growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ behind bars. Many have had the best years of their life. There's a hunger for truth in many of these. And over the past year, we've seen it manifested in that we've had more requests from family members to receive the same material that their wife or husband is receiving, or so that they could teach their children. And our list of those individuals who've never been in prison is just gone through the roof. We've had inmates write and say, can you send this to my wife? She needs to hear this. My wife's going to write you. Is that okay? Can you send this to my girlfriend? Can you send this to my husband? We've also had that happen this year. For the first time, we have ladies following along with Grace Doctrine Church, and that's all started in the last 4 or 5 months. Never had that happen before. It's always been men. And now we have women who are writing to us and following along with us. These men may not have physical freedom, but they have spiritual freedom regardless of their circumstances. And for many, Bible doctrine have become the most important thing in their lives. It is what carries them each day. We're not easy on them. I constantly remind them they're not a victim of their circumstances. They are a victim of their decisions. And then I take Joe Griffin and Rick Hughes' comment and let them know that bad decisions limit future options. And when you go in these prisons and drive through the parking lot, you can see on the staff's cars Rick Hughes' bumper sticker that says bad decisions limit future options. Going into some of the chapels, they have that bumper sticker posted there for these inmates to see. There's tons of religious opposition in these locations. You've got Islam, you've got Church of Christ, you've got Mormons, you've got Catholics, you got Wiccans, you got Native American Indians in their sweat lodges. You name it, they have it. And if you don't think you can find it, you'll be shocked. There's something that you haven't even thought of in these prisons. There's 3 acts of volition to get the Bible class. When they have a Bible class and I'm coming in, they put out the word that they're going to have a speaker. You have to sign up for it. That's the first act of volition. If you're not on the call-out list, you don't get to come. Then when they call you to come out to the Bible class, you have to show up. No one makes you. They say religious 100 call-out, and you have to show up. If you're playing cards or making hooch or gambling or watching a movie or whatever you're doing, you just don't go. So the second act is just to get there. And then when you get there, you have to stay. You can always say, I want the guard to take me back or let me out or I don't feel well. And then you have to come back the next day. So these guys, everybody jokes we have a captive audience. You don't. There's plenty to do and plenty to get in trouble with. Take my word for it. There's a lot to do. The other issue you have is inmates who want to be the spiritual king of the mountain. And I always call them out on that and say, I know men are arrogant, and I'm sure you're in here, just can't wait to get back to your cell blocks and say, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. So you always have to be ready to address that. And I have a standard approach. When they come up and say, well, what do you think about baptism? I always say, well, what do you think about baptism? And then they tell you everything they think about it. And when I get tired of it, I just walk away and let them keep talking. So it just makes it real easy. Just shut them right down. Because they don't really want to know what you want to know. They want to tell you what they want to know. So that's the way you handle it. I have a couple letters I thought that I would read. We get these in. I do send them out from time to time. I try to send them to Joe so that he can see that the men are responding to his teaching and how much they appreciate Grace Doctrine Church. I'll read a couple of these, and then I'll let you get home to your pot roast. So this says, Dear Gary, I have just completed book number 1 of the basic series. I can't begin to tell you how much I was blessed in my life by this book. Simple information, tools that can be used to resharpen the old Christian and mold the new one. The truth is very profound. yet easy to digest, and I'm very eager to continue this series of studies. Please send as soon as possible. I told my new cellie about Pastor Griffin, and when he read your notes that you send me, it was just like Pastor Thiem had taught, except Pastor Griffin is clearing up certain verses that I have had to wait for someone to give the correct translation. Thank you, Pastor Griffin, for your faithfulness, and to you, Gary, for the ministry you have provided us. I know all this is from God, and His timing is perfect. My prayer life has truly increased since you have sent Pastor Griffin's book on prayer. Another one. Hello, sir. My name is whoever. Joe, after returning from Huntsville, I was housed in the other side of a unit from an individual named David who you do not know. I didn't know him yet either. This one particular night, I prayed that the Father would further my spiritual walk and to move me in the morning if it be His will. The night passed, and at 6:45 that very morning, my name was called. Nichols, pack it up. You're moving. I said, thank you, Father. Once more, you have answered prayer and given me confirmation. When I arrived at my new housing unit, I met David, and within a few hours, we had both found that our prayers were answered. David introduced me to your ministry, as well as the following of Pastor Thiem. God is awesome all the time. He has given me not only a pastor, truth and doctrine, but a study partner and a fine friend. So that was to you, Joe. Joe, David showed me your four basic books, and I would like to receive them as well, and also the 40 proclamations if available. Please add me to your prayer list. Dear Gary, please allow me to introduce myself after our first encounters last year during your call out. How I wish more pastors and preachers would speak with the calm and confident boldness you showed while instructing us in the solid food of God's living and breathing word. And we'll do one more. This is really to the congregation. Grace Doctrine Church, I'm so grateful our Lord God sent you my way. Before Pastor Joe Griffin and yourself, I was tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. All my life, I've been in pursuit of God's truth in response to His calling. Finally, my search is over. Finally, I enjoyed what our Lord promised. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's it. There's our upcoming schedule for the next 90 days. There'll be more added to it. Please pray for us. We need it. And I solicit your prayers. If you'd like to contact us, go along with us, be involved with the kids, whatever, you can reach me there as my phone number, email address, our webpage, our mailing address. Please feel free to do so. And thank you all very much for your support. And Joe, thanks so very much.
Could you just comment on the relationships you established with some of the wardens?
Yeah. We have one warden where we don't have a very good relationship with him because he doesn't like us sending Bibles. He does not believe the inmates deserve a $49 Bible, and it's a constant battle, and he's put a stop to it in his facility. He doesn't understand them having a study Bible. But the other wardens, it has been amazing, especially you go to Mr. Vinoy down in Louisiana. This gentleman is a sound doctrinal believer, and he believes these men can change. In the facilities where we have the great relationship with them, it's because we're not easy on them. We don't go in there and hold their hands and say, oh, it's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. Because it's not going to be fine if they don't get with the Word of God and get serious about their spiritual advance. We're also very establishment-oriented. So, therefore, when we teach, the guards come in and listen, and they go back and they pass the word to the wardens and to their other staff and say, you know what, these guys are okay. They're not in here slamming us or bad-mouthing us. They're in here saying, hey, you may be fooling all of us, but when you go back and you treat those guards like garbage, you're not fooling God. God sees that. You're only fooling yourself. And they hear this. They sit in there, and they're impressed by that, and they respond to it. Then on the other side, and I'll advance and change it over into chaplains, you have all different types of chaplains. When you're a chaplain in a prison facility, you may be a Catholic. You may be a Church of Christ. You may be an Arminian. You may be a Mormon. They bring you in to do this, and your job then is to provide the inmates what they want. And I've had chaplains say, I've got some oil here if you want to do any anointing tonight. And it's like, don't think so. You know? And there was another time, and an individual became a believer, and I just was telling Joe, he just sent Joe a check for $7, a week's pay, because he's so impressed that we never ask for money at this church, and it's not in any of the publications. But this young man was in a Bible class. He was 19 years old when he got in a fight with his brother, a twin brother. They were both high on drugs, and he ended up stabbing his brother to death, and he got 20 years. And this individual came to a couple Bible classes, and after one of the Bible classes was over, the chaplain came up and got a guitar, and he goes, you need an invitation after this. Stay up here. And I left, and I went out in the lobby. I had to get kind of away from all that. And this young man came out and talked to me, and I sat down in a chair and gave him the gospel, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. After that day, this young man has now, the Lord protected him and moved him out of this correctional facility, which is the worst in the state of Missouri, and moved him, stepped him down to the Northeast Correctional Facility in Bowling Green, and now he's stepped down to Algoa in Jefferson City, and he'll be coming home next year. He has completely changed his life. He's no longer, the guilt is no longer carrying him of killing his brother, his twin brother. And he's reconciled with his family, and this kid's going to come home. He's going to be, 25 years old, 26 years old. He has his whole life ahead of him. With doctrine, this kid can make a change. But I left the invitation. I would not stay for that. They were in there singing and 14 verses into Just As I Am. I had this kid all to myself. And this kid made the greatest decision he could ever make, and he's never looked back. And we have another individual, I'll tell you a story, his wife, 99.9% chance she's listening today. He was a white supremacist, and he came to one of the Bible classes with four other guys. And I had a warning from the chaplain that they were trying to disrupt Bible classes, and I needed to be prepared for this individual or this group of individuals. So I saw them out there. They were sitting over to my left. And about 15 minutes in the Bible class, they were all laughing and goofing off and joking. So the first time, I just looked straight ahead and told them, if they're not here to seriously study the Word of God, they need to leave and go on. And then they continued. So then I looked over at them, and there's this thing about respect and who's going to react. And, I'm teaching to respond with grace instead of react with anger. Well, these people, they like to react with anger really quick. But they didn't react. They didn't do anything, but they did shut up. Bible class was over. This one individual came up to me and said, I heard what you said today. I may come back another time. The other guys never came back, but this individual did come back. And he continued to come. And finally, one day, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that very day, he renounced the right white supremacist. Well, when you do that, they put you in protective custody because life's now in danger. It's death in, death out type approach. So they locked him up in protective custody. And he asked the chaplain when I was coming again, and chaplain told him, and he said, well, I'm going to come to Bible class because you can't come anymore. You're in protective custody. So he talked to the captain of the guards. He signed himself out of protective custody so he could come to Bible class. And he was there. And he never misses. And I get letters from him all the time. I brought a letter along, and it just shows you, this is a hardened, hardcore criminal. I left the letter back there, but it says, in the letter, he goes, I was reading your letters and your latest Bible notes over the phone to my wife and children, and I had to stop and wipe away the tears because how much I've changed from just a year ago. Doctrine conquers all.
Okay, if I left anybody out. I think we've covered, let me get to the agenda. Is there any new business, further new business? All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn, then Joe will close with prayer. Is there a motion to adjourn? Second. Okay. All those in favor? Opposed? Joe, would you like to close in prayer?
Before I do, please let me make a couple of announcements. The congregation just voted in the new Board of Deacons. It includes those that served last year, with one exception. Because of Vic Modere's new job that keeps him away from live Bible class, I pulled him off the Board of Deacons because his absence affects the quorum. But we certainly will miss his service on the board. He is not serving this year, but once his job situation stabilizes, I would hope that he would accept the opportunity to rejoin us at a future time. But I do... Vic is having health problems, but I wasn't going to go into that. But we do need to remember Vic in prayer. He is going through a health problem at the moment, and that, of course, contributes to the situation. But I do salute Vic for his service to the board, and we hope to have him back soon. And we certainly hope he is feeling much better soon. Finally, if you wonder what the conglomeration of waste paper down front is, what those are letters that Dana receives over the course of the year. There are people who insert a letter or a comment or a note in their orders for whatever they're ordering. And she thought, and I agree with her, you'd be impressed with the amount of correspondence that she receives over the course of a year. And she does a great job down there with her volunteers. And, of course, the stats that I gave you about what all they do over the course of the year with MP3s and class notes and books and so on is quite impressive. So I salute everybody. You know, Gary's given his report. I've given mine on the Doritos, and there are you that support this local congregation. It's phenomenal if you just let grace have its way, allow the Holy Spirit to work. It's phenomenal what a local church can do without even trying. Just be ready to teach, be ready to offer grace, and God will take advantage of that. Anything else from anybody? Oh, we do have had a Dorito down in Albany, Georgia. And if you're from Albany, you know that that's pronounced Albany. I've got... yes, but I had that written down somewhere. Patsy. Mike and Patsy McKinnon, they were at the Shreveport Bible Conference. I was on his bucket list. He had terminal cancer and was suffering from it for several years, but the doctors were telling him he was nearing the end, and his bucket list was to go to Shreveport. And so he was there last September. He's a teller of tales. Wish you could have known him. But he could just tell just a normal, everyday event that he went through and have everybody on the floor. So it was a phenomenal personality, but he's absent now from the body. He's face to face with the Lord, and he is feeling much better today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to discuss the affairs of Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries, both of which you have blessed exceedingly abundantly. We thank you for your grace. We pray that you would provide us all that we need as long as we function under the grace policy in this coming year. And we lift our prayers to this end in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're dismissed.